Welcome to Without Fear, Life, Death, and Everything in Between, a podcast for anyone ready to embrace life's ultimate truth. It ends. I'm Death Doula Alexis Hughes, here to break down barriers around mortality through heartfelt conversations, personal insights, and practical tools for facing the end with courage and intention. Whether you're curious about death, navigating grief, or seeking ways to live more fully, this is your safe space to explore life's most transformative topics. Together, we'll turn fear into understanding and silence into connection. Hello, my friend. I want to start today's conversation with something we don't hear often. It is okay to be angry. Not just annoyed, not just sad underneath. I mean, really angry. And death, dying, grief, that's messy. Sometimes what rises up in the middle of it all isn't peace. It's not a Hallmark movie. There's no great revelation of Zen. It's rage. This episode is called Die Mad About It. And we're going to talk about the anger that comes when we're facing the end. Our own or someone else's. We're going to talk about how dying people are often turned into redemption arcs for the living. About how their deaths are not solely about them, but they're made into performance art for the people around them that want or need something from them. How we expect them to forgive and soothe or resolve pain that they didn't cause. And how, if you're the one who has died, you're under no obligation to absolve people who hurt you. You do not have to forgive someone just because you're dying. You do not have to pretend you're at peace when you're not. Dying doesn't make you a saint. You don't owe anyone closure, especially if it costs you your dignity to give it. So let's talk about it. The anger, the pressure, and the truth. And I want to touch on something I just said. Dying doesn't make you a saint. That goes both ways. Just because someone died doesn't mean that even though we as the survivors should let it all go. Dying mad is on both sides of the transition. You as the person who are dying can be full mad and die mad about it. And you as the people who are in the dying environment can also be mad. And that's valid too. The inspiration for the title of this episode is really one of my major life philosophies. If any of you are children of the internet like I am, it's an old meme. Simply die mad about it. It was a mic drop statement for someone who was worked up at someone who absolutely did not give a flying flip. So, for example, someone has got really big feelings on something that you think is completely irrelevant. You just look at them and go, you know what? Die mad about it and walk away. The command to die mad about it means your emotional state isn't my problem. I will not be changing anything about myself. Your distress, anger, upset, whatever, that's got nothing to do with me. And I sleep just fine knowing that. I will give you not one inch of resolution. So go on. Die mad about it. We love the idea of a clean ending. Someone finds out they're dying, and suddenly all the broken relationships get mended. The estranged parents apologize, old enemies reconcile. The dying person finds peace by forgiving everyone who's ever harmed them. It's neat, it's tidy, it's cinematic. And it's also kind of garbage. My co-host, ladies and gentlemen. Because in real life, people come to the deathbed asking for absolution they don't deserve. And so I'm going to hold your hand when I say this. You don't get to go to the bedside and ask for any kind of forgiveness you are not owed. And they expect to get it because you're the one dying. So you have to forgive them, right? That's part of all of this, is you have to die peaceful and clean. They want to cry and be comforted. They want their guilt soothed. They want to walk away thinking, we made things right. But sometimes the dying person doesn't want that. Sometimes they're angry, and that anger is real and completely valid. I once sat with a woman, we'll call her Maggie, who was dying of pancreatic cancer. And her sister hadn't spoken to her in almost a decade. Years of silence, betrayal, and distance. But as soon as word got out that Maggie was terminal, her sister showed up with flowers and tears and a plea. I just need to know that you forgive me. And Maggie turned her head and said, I didn't ask you to come, and I don't. Get out. The room fell silent. And she collected herself, and she took all the gifts that she had brought with her, and she turned around and she walked out. And later Maggie told me, I know she wants to feel better, but this isn't about her comfort. It's about me, and I'm not ready to rewrite history just because I'm dying. She did what she did, and she knows what she did. And she didn't need my forgiveness until now. Ever. This full censor bar. So, I hope that story kind of touches something for you, in that we have weaponized forgiveness. It can be beautiful, but when it's demanded from someone who's dying, it can be a form of coercion. We put pressure on people at the end of their lives to act like sages, to offer grace, to fix other people's pain. We don't ask, do you want to see this person? We say, well, you should talk to them. You don't want to die with this hate in your heart. Why not? It's their hate. And it's not like someone just wakes up in the morning and goes, you know what? I decide I'm going to hate my whole family for no reason, just for fun, to make other people's lives miserable. That's what I'm going to do today. Here's the truth. Sometimes what we call hate in that end of life situation is actually righteousness, and righteousness that no one wants to talk about. Sometimes the distance is a boundary that has kept the dying person safe from further harm. And forcing them to perform peace for everyone else's emotional relief isn't healing. It is harm. So what I want you to ask yourself about, if you're the one facing death, do I feel pressure to forgive someone I don't want to? Is this visit for me, or is it for them? And am I holding space because it feels good, or because I feel like I have to? So let's go through these three questions. Do I feel pressure to forgive someone I don't want to? Where does that come from? Is it people-pleasing? Is it you want to keep the peace? Is it you want to still have some control over the scope of things after you die, that you've done the right thing and you've left your family in a position where they can't blame you for the discord? Is this visit for me, or is it for them? Is this visit going to truly heal something within you? Do you need it? Do you need the closure? Do you need whatever is going to happen here? Or do they? And when we talk about who the visit is for, in that respect, couldn't it have come earlier? What did dying change here? What perspective did someone being near the end of their life give? And is it truly that this is a life-changing thing that the parties involved are having some reflection on? Or is it because, well, this is how it should go, I guess. Are they really turning a corner on being accountable? Or is it just to say that you've made up? Am I holding space because it feels good or because I feel like I have to? When is enough going to be enough? If you're holding this space because I feel I have to, you're dying. What else can they do to you if you don't? If you stand your ground and you hold your place and your boundaries and you say no, what's the worst that could happen? But if it's the latter, you're fully allowed to say no. No is a complete sentence and a full valid thought. And here's something I want you to hear clearly and without condition. You do not owe your time, your peace, or your energy to people who harmed you. Ever. Not even at the end of your life. And especially not then. They are not entitled to you. They are not entitled to your forgiveness. And they're not entitled to that, especially if it's just to make them feel better. We say things like, well, you don't want to carry that with you. But whose burden is it, really? If you're valid in your feelings, you're not carrying anything. That's their problem. That's their emotions to manage. It's their guilt. It's their shame. It's their unfinished work. If they're not going to self-reflect and truly do the work of redemption, this apology, this reconciliation, isn't going to mean anything. And as a matter of fact, can make it worse because they got their way with no real work or reconciliation. They didn't learn anything. Don't try to fix a wound someone else created. Don't spend your last breaths comforting the people who broke you. This is so important here to understand. That as we approach the end of our life, one of the things I see the most in this setting is regret. We mourn the things we didn't do. We mourn the words we didn't say. So as I've said in a couple of episodes now, do it now. Do it now. Because then all of this that we're discussing today isn't there. Either it has tried to be reconciled and it worked, or it tried to be reconciled and it didn't. There's no middle ground here. Either it will be fixed or it will not. And oftentimes, those results aren't yours to carry. If you are the harmed party, other people's big feelings about being held accountable is not your responsibility. And if they refuse to be held accountable for the harm that they have caused, no and silence are answers that need no further explanation. You'll hear me say often, they know what they did. They said what they said. They did what they did. And if they don't, they're trying to get you to do more emotional labor to explain it to them, to make you the villain, because they don't feel like they did anything wrong. And you don't have to do any of that. It doesn't make you a bad person. Your anger is valid, and any harm reduction that you want to practice for the benefit of yourself is perfectly, perfectly valid. You're listening to Without Fear, Life, Death, and Everything in Between. I'm Alexis Hughes. If you're finding clarity in this conversation, if this episode is naming something you felt but couldn't quite say, I invite you to visit my website, withoutfeardoula.com. There, you'll find resources for end-of-life planning, grief journaling, boundary setting, and more. Because dying isn't about doing what makes other people feel better. It's about honoring your own truth. Again, That's withoutfeardoula.com. We will be right back on Transformation Talk Network.
Do you want to become a host? Start your own podcast to inspire, persuade, and influence others on what you're passionate about? At the Transformation Network, we can help make your talk radio dreams happen. Let's take your hopes, dreams, and passions and put them on air today. Email us at host@transformationtalkradio.com to learn more about becoming a host of your very own show.
Because this is airing in Pride Month. Welcome back, by the way. I want to start back from the break with a poignant story relevant to the matter. So a man, we'll call him Raymond, who was a gay man in his late 50s, dying of complications from long undiagnosed cancer. So nothing to do with his lifestyle, just cancer. When he became terminal, his estranged father's pastor reached out. "Your father wants to see you," the man said. "He's sorry." And Raymond looked over me and asked, because we were having a conversation about it, "Is he sorry that I'm dying? Or sorry that I existed the way I did? Or is he sorry that he had me at all?" Sorry could mean a lot of things. And he chose not to take the call. And the guilt wasn't his to carry. Because sorry is action, not words. The best apology is changed behavior. And waiting until someone dies to even begin to change that behavior is a bad look. I'll just say that with my whole chest. Trying to make things right when it is pretty much too late is a bad look, and it calls motivation into play. There's this myth, right, that dying folks become somehow superhuman. They rise above it all. They float off into the ether, free of bitterness and glowing with enlightenment. But dying does not make you perfect. It just makes you dying. You're still you, with your pain, with your joy, with your disappointment, and your history. You're allowed to bring all of that with you. You don't need to smile for anyone else's comfort. You don't need to let old wounds back in. You don't have to say, I'm okay, when you're not. You can rage, you can be quiet, you can be complex, you can just be you. So I want you to ask yourself, and we can start this work today. This is why, if you visited my website, you've seen now that I also offer life coaching. Because as I've been on this podcast, I've asked myself some really tough questions. And one of those being, why do we wait until we're dying to fix it? Because it is life, death, and everything in between. Why are we waiting until it is at the end of everything possible to fix it? Start now. Start now. I would say start yesterday, but start now. So ask yourself, what do I really want to say before I go? Do I want near me? And who do I not? What would it mean to die honestly rather than nicely? So let's go through all three of these. What do I really want to say before I go? we are expected to only say pleasant things, right? When we're dying, to be sage-like and wise and all that. But what if you could just pull the pin on the family secret and lob it into the middle and go, fix it, I'm out. What if you could? What if you really just had something to say? There are so many families, not that I've dealt with in death, but just in my personal life and my friend circle, that there's always a family secret. There's the uncle that you shouldn't leave your children around, or the, you know, just the aunt who lock your liquor cabinet when she comes over. When we talk about dying honestly, you could be the catalyst that affects change. Refuse to let your pain and your burden be swept under the rug to live another generation, if you have that power. Now, am I telling you to destroy your family for funsies? No. If there is a path of accountability that can be had by constructive deathbed criticism, go for it. What's the worst that could happen? You have a right to say, you know what? I'm going to say the quiet part loud. We all know this is a thing, but I'm going to say it out loud. You know, I like your potato salad. Your casserole tastes bad. You need therapy. You're cool. I never liked your Christmas presents. You know, you have a lot of power in those moments to make your words matter. And also in that saying without saying, who do I want near me and who do I not? That's a big deal. Just like the person we talked about earlier in the story turned away her sister at the door. That said more than any tear-filled conversation possibly could. She came all that way. She came with flowers and gifts and tears and wanted to make it right. And the answer was simply, no, get out. And that was that. To go, well, she took that to her grave and she took all that anger with it. So it was hers to carry. You're not owed closure or anything like that. As the person who has aggrieved someone else and as the aggrieved party, you don't have to give it. And I'm going to say something else, too, on the spectrum of the sister that showed up out of nothing, wanting to be deigned and given and bestowed forgiveness so that she could live the rest of her life knowing that things were made right. And I say this, and it's going to make you squirm. And I'm going to hold your hand when I say it. If you feel entitled to someone's death, to their time, to their grace, to their forgiveness, I sincerely hope you are denied that experience. Because dying people are not your redemption arc. They're not supporting characters in your guilt movie. They're not here to tie your story up with a bow in a box. And if you spent years being absent, abusive, manipulative, or cruel, if you showed up only when death arrived, and you expect a welcome party or a tearful reunion, let me say this real plain. You are not owed that moment. You are not owed closure. And you are not owed peace at the expense of theirs. We talk a lot about forgiveness in our culture. And we act like it's a moral obligation. Like you must offer it before you die, or you'll be stuck with the bitterness. You're dying. You're not stuck with anything. You are clocking out. It's not like you're going to go to heaven and be like, oh, I'm really bitter. No, that's not how any of this works. But what if that bitterness is clarity? What if that refusal to perform peace in the first moment of real is the real honesty in years? You know what you did and no one has to sweep it under the rug for you. I once worked with a lady named Lisa. She was dying of metastatic breast cancer. And her father had been in her life since she was 12. When he heard she was dying, he asked to come visit. He said, I needed to make things right. Said he needed her to know his side of the story, which I found interested. And she said, why now? Why does he want forgiveness at the very end? And then she said, if I let him in, it's not for me. It's for him. And I don't want to give him the ending he thinks he deserves. She chose not to respond. And the silence was her boundary. It wasn't petty. It wasn't vindictive. It was the truth. She hadn't had her dad in her life since she was 12. In 30 years, you hadn't had a desire to make it right. You didn't want to express your side of the story. But now that the clock has started on missing that opportunity, all of a sudden now, you want to talk about it? No. I'm good. So if you're listening right now, you feel uncomfortable. If you're realizing you might be the one who left, who hurt, or who ignored, here's your invitation. Do not wait until someone is dying to make amends. Do it now. Don't wait until someone is dying to carry this out. Waiting until death enters the fray begs the question, if you are truly sorry, if you really care, why did it take their imminent death to say something? Because once they're at the threshold, the story isn't about you anymore. And it never should have been. If we're walking someone you love through death, let them be real. Let them be angry. Let them say no. Let them withhold forgiveness if that's what's true. Because they don't exist to wrap up your story. And if you're the one approaching death, know this. You are allowed to be a whole person, even now, especially now. Dying doesn't mean everyone letting everyone in. You're not out of seat at the deathbed. And if you only showed up when death did, you may be met with silence and you may be told no. And that no is law. So if you've been waiting to be let in, make peace with the possibility that that door might stay closed. And don't confuse that for cruelty. It's not cruelty. It's a consequence of your actions, and you can die mad about it. Dying doesn't mean letting everybody in or letting everyone get it their way. It means going out on your terms, truthfully, fearfully, and without fear. So this episode starts something in you, and you're grappling with boundaries, truth-telling, or navigating big emotions like grief, anger, or fear. I'd love to walk with you through that. Visit withoutfeardoula.com to learn more and book your free consultation with me, life coaching, death doula, and everything in between. Let's burn the rule book and build something honest. I'll meet you there.
I'm death doula Alexis Hughes, and you've been listening to Without Fear, Life, Death, and Everything in Between. Join me every third Monday, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard on Transformation Talk Radio for honest conversations about life's final chapter. Together, we'll break down barriers around mortality and empower you with practical tools to start meaningful conversations with your loved ones about end-of-life wishes. To learn more about end-of-life support and my work as a death doula, visit withoutfeardoula.com. Thanks for listening.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.